In this episode of the Awaken podcast, we're so excited to explore with you how you can quit playing small and start playing a bigger game in life. So whether you've been struggling with self-sabotage or limiting beliefs, or you feel like past experiences are holding you back, this is the episode for you. Grab a cacao, get comfortable, and join us. Let's dive in.
Welcome to the Awaken Podcast,
where we share practical spirituality for modern living.
Join us as we dive deep into conversations about healing and transformation.
Let's go.
Here we are.
Here we are. It is time to begin.
What's your intention?
My intention for the beginning of this journey that we're on, this first episode, is to bring people inside, to bring people into our world. This is something that I think we've been wanting for a long time, is to introduce people to what we're doing behind the scenes and the conversations that we have. So let's tune in.
We've got our cacao, and I guess my intention is I want to have fun first and foremost. I want to be of service. I want to provide value to everyone tuning in. And I want to speak my truth and feel really good about this first podcast. So,
and so it is. Okay. All right.
So everyone tuning in at home, if you feel the call to make yourself a cacao and to sit down and to tune in with us, then let's go.
Yeah, let's get into it. So to start this conversation, shall we take a few deep breaths, get even more dialed in?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you're at home, whether you want to close down your eyes or keep your eyes open, let's just take three deep breaths, beginning in 3, 2, 1.
Just arriving in the moment. So, Hala, what is playing small? Define it.
I guess that's the best place for us to start, because if we're going to talk about playing big, we need to look at where we're playing small. So for me, what I've noticed within my own life is that I have had to get really radically honest about areas where my thinking is limited. And that has been a really uncomfortable journey. It's been super confronting. It's been frustrating. At times I felt really helpless and like I haven't known how to get out of a limited state or a limited belief or a limited way of thinking. And
by limited, do you mean that you're not believing in yourself and what is possible for you to create?
Yeah, what I'd say with it is that when we're in a limited way of being, we're limiting our own potential and our own capacity. So as I've identified areas within my own thinking where I don't believe something is possible, or I don't believe that I'm capable of something, or I want to do a certain thing, but instead of doing it, I hold back, or I go and do another thing that I know is actually a really outdated way of being, I'm looping in smallness when I'm behaving like that. So I think that that is, for me, the crux of what it means to play small. But we've got to unpack this a lot. I've got a lot to say.
Let's give a real life example of how you've been playing small in the past and how you've been able to move beyond that.
Well, I think where it begins is not even realizing that you are playing small. And something that we talk about a lot with our community and at our events is the stages of change and this model of understanding, right? That before we can even make a change and start to play bigger, we need to become aware that we're even playing small. And for me, it was a total blind spot. I didn't even know for so long that I was capable of more. I thought that how I was being and what I was doing with my life was all that there was, which is more of a reactive way of being, right? Where you're like, oh, life is just happening and these are the cards that I've been dealt. So this is the life that I'm going to live and these are the decisions that I'm going to make, really living on autopilot.
Yeah.
So I can recall when we met 17 years ago, that I was in that way of being completely. Like, I didn't even know that there was more for me. And I remember you were already in a career that you were enjoying. You were a tattoo artist at that point. And I was working in retail, earning $10 an hour. And I was actually feeling quite comfortable with that. Like, I was fine. And then you started to question me and my choices. And initially, I remember when you began doing that, I was like, why are you trying to make me feel a type of way?
Yeah, well, I also remember
you were probing me
there was a certain point where I was so dedicated to my craft with tattooing and it became my obsession where I would put in long days and long nights. And then that was affecting our relationship in a negative way because you were like, you're spending so much time on your career. And I was like,
whereas for me, work was just a means to an end. It was a paycheck.
Yeah. And you weren't entirely passionate about what you were doing. So I was questioning you around, hey, is there anything that you feel really passionate about that you haven't yet claimed but would excite you to do? And then that began the process of you kind of, you know, taking that journey.
Yeah. And so when you started to bring that up to me, this is the stage of change, which I would call pre-contemplation, right? Where I didn't even think about something else being possible for me. It was like, oh, those people over there that are doing their dream job, they got lucky. They landed in the right thing. Those people that are earning more money, they got lucky too. It was like a very lottery winner mentality that I was in. And I remember you being like, you know, you don't have to do this job and you know, you could earn more money. And at first I was like, no, I don't think I can. And I think this is where I'm kind of stuck. And so it took me a while to even begin to let in and entertain the idea that I could do more. And from there, that began my journey of quitting playing small, choosing to play bigger, choosing to entertain new expansive possibilities and recognize that I was more in control of my life than I had believed.
Yeah, and I think that began your journey as an entrepreneur because you stepped out of, you know, working at retail into being a fashion designer and basically working for yourself, working for different magazines.
Right, that went into styling. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was like huge for you because I remember that you didn't fully believe in yourself, but you stepped forward anyway and you took action. And before you knew it, you were booked with so many jobs and really amazing opportunities started coming your way.
Right, which then, I mean, I want to hear also from you on your perspective on this because I know you've gone through so many different rites of passage with playing small and then breaking free of that model. But what I will say is that for me, that was when I began to take risks. And I've begun to understand that any time we want to break out of a limited way of being, there is risk and there's vulnerability in that. Like going into styling from having not even a career, I guess. It was like a means to an end, minimum wage, feeling pissed off or resentful every day. To going, oh, I can do something that I want. That was so scary. I still remember the first photo shoot that I prepared for and you were with me. You were like helping me prepare. I was sick. I felt nauseous.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't think I can even do this.
Yeah.
And I had to force myself to do it. And
totally.
I've seen that happen again and again and again.
Yeah. And we've had to do that every step along the way. It hadn't
including
stopped.
Including for the weekend.
Yeah. Including right now, stretching ourselves to do this podcast.
Exactly.
Like, you know, it takes stepping into that stress, which is that adaptive stress that supports you to grow stronger.
Yeah.
And be more resilient. So for me, it was all about moving outside of the comfort zone because like many people for many years, I just drifted in the comfort zone, not actually questioning how I was showing up, my habits, my decisions, what they were leading to. And ultimately, I didn't feel capable, or I didn't believe in my ability to, you know, create my dreams into reality. Like you, I saw other people doing it, but I didn't believe it was possible for me. There was a limiting belief that I wasn't good enough, that I wasn't enough, and I didn't have what it took. And then for me, the journey to move beyond that has been really questioning all of those limiting beliefs and allowing myself to dream bigger and to step outside the comfort zone and to challenge that resistance that comes up every single day when we are trying to, you know, step in to become a new version of ourselves, because that's what I'm ultimately talking about, is becoming a new version of yourself to create a new reality, to create a new life. You have to be willing to let go of the old to create the new. So that's been my journey of challenging that resistance from a place of fierce, courageous love and not allowing that resistance to stop me or to slow me down from taking aligned action on the things that truly matter to me. And we've been doing that this whole time in a whole relationship of 17 years. We've been pushing and shaking and moving and hustling from the heart and making things happen.
So let's talk a little bit more specifically about some examples for you. Like, where have you seen yourself playing small? If we go way back, I mean, talking about when we met and I was playing small in a lot of different areas, but we spoke about work specifically.
Yeah. So for me, for work, I had already kind of established myself in a career that I loved and I was earning really amazing money, like more money than my friends or peers were earning. So,
well, I think you've got an interesting story that you could actually share there around how you even got there, because to me, there's so much that people can learn about how you landed in that position.
Yeah, well, from the age of 13 years old, I decided that I wanted to be a tattoo artist. And I told my mum that, and she was supportive, but she was also a little bit concerned, because at that time, tattooing was quite underground and there was a lot of gang influence and different, I guess, things that she was concerned that would take me down the wrong path. So while she was concerned, she was also supportive. We didn't have money growing up, you know, like mum was a single parent. So she provided me with a lot of love and a lot of support, but we didn't have much money. I always knew growing up that there was this deep desire in me to play big. I wanted to break this generational pattern of, you know, not having a great relationship with money, because that's how everyone in my environment, all of my family were. I didn't see them playing bigger life.
They were making ends meet.
Yeah, they were just in survival mode, yeah, living week to week. And that's not what I wanted for my life. I wanted to live this extraordinary life. And it was a deep calling. It was a deep desire within me. So at 13 years old, I just decided that school wasn't it for me. And I was really going to focus on my art. So I went all the way in on mastering my art and drawing every single day, like being obsessed on it and just so focused and so passionate about it, which kind of other areas fell to the side at school. And I was like, fuck it. I know what I want. And guidance counselors and teachers would be like, hey, you need to make sure that you're actually going to create a life plan that's, you know, it's appropriate for you. What if this falls through? What if you can't do it? They were
like,
you know,
be practical.
Yeah, be practical. And I was like, no, fuck that. I know exactly what I'm going to do when I leave school, which is in a couple of years. I'm going to go straight into a career of tattooing, and that is going to take me all around the world, and I'm going to be an international artist, and I'm going to, you know, travel and do exactly what I want. And that's what I did. I left school, and then reality kicked in, and I wasn't able to get an apprenticeship at a tattoo studio because I wasn't even 18, and I'd spent, you know, months drawing this portfolio of all of the like tattoo designs and everything that I was so proud of. And at, you know, 16 years old, I was taking these into different tattoo shops around Auckland and just trying to get opportunities. And everyone was like, no, you're not old enough. We don't have, you know, available, you know, spots for an apprenticeship or anything like that. So, you know, I was turned down so many times over a long period of time, over a couple of years, but I just didn't stop. I had this like deep knowing within me that even though these doors were closing right now, at some stage they were going to open. And I was going to be ready to take that opportunity as soon as those doors opened. So at 18 years old, I got that apprenticeship and I started working in a shop, earning no money, just working for free. And again, I knew that that was the path that was going to set me up for a great future. So I worked my ass off. And then over time, I got the opportunity to actually start tattooing and making money. And then that led me to, you know, travel all around the world. And that's kind of how we got out of New Zealand. because way back in the day when there was MySpace, you would approach different tattoo studios and say, hey, look, we're traveling over to this city or to this country, and is there any opportunity that, you know, I could do a guest spot, and you would, you know, help me to get these opportunities, and we would travel and, you know, we'd meet new people, and our minds started expanding on what was possible for us. And, you know, we were doing something that was really amazing and exciting at the time. And that whole time you were studying full time, like you were really going hard in your studies, because at that point in time, you had even transitioned out of being a fashion stylist.
Right.
And you had moved into full time study.
And that was the next whole chapter, the next cycle of going into the entertaining, can I do this? Is this possible? What more is available for me? And then preparing for it, doing the study. And I think there's a few things that you shared which are interesting for people to learn from and take as examples. Sometimes we're not sure at all of what we can do to play a bigger game in life, but sometimes we are. And sometimes there is a deep knowing. And I think what you illuminated for yourself is that you knew, and then what you illuminated for me is that deep down I did know, but I was covering it up with these external influences. It's like when someone kind of puts layers and layers of cotton wool over this essence that you have that tells you, okay, this is who I am and this is what I aspire to be. But then the environment overlays more and more of these limited ideas. And one of the analogies that we were talking about this morning on our walk was, it's sort of like when you go to a restaurant and you're with your friends and everyone orders and you haven't even had a chance to look at the menu yet. And you're assuming that what has been ordered and what has landed on the table is all that's available. But you haven't even let yourself look at the menu to see what's possible and then decide for yourself. And I feel like for me, deep down there was big aspirations and dreams, but I had to have someone come into my life, which was you, to illuminate that that was even an option. Like, hey, Hala, pick up the menu.
Yeah.
Have a look.
I think a lot of people have that, right? The golden shadow, things that they like truly deep down really, really, really want to go after and create, but they don't allow themselves to claim it, to own it, to speak it into existence, to go out there and take action. And I think the number one reason why we do that is because we're afraid. We're afraid of failure. We're afraid of other people's judgments. We're afraid of what it means if we get it wrong and we're not successful. We're afraid of our own light. We're afraid of shining. We're afraid of taking up space. We're afraid of speaking our truth and being authentic and being vulnerable. We're afraid of what does it mean if I go all the way in on something and I don't make it? Then what? Because in order to create change and to play a bigger game, to move outside the comfort zone, you have to be willing to face off with your fears. You have to be willing to face off with your internal programming, the small parts of you that want you to stay in the old familiar way of being because it feels safe, it feels comfortable, but deep down you know that you're here for more. And we have to break free of all of that. And to do that, we have to be willing to question those limiting beliefs. And we have to start to take radical responsibility for our place in co-creating with the universe, because there's absolutely things that are within our control that we need to focus on. And there's other things that are totally outside of our control that we need to surrender, and we need to use prayer, or we need to ask for assistance. We need to call on our guides to help us in the co-creation of our goals, our vision, and our dreams into reality. And I think it starts, like you said, of knowing what you want first and foremost, and then giving yourself permission to claim it and go after it. And then the journey begins of facing off with yourself and the parts of you that want to keep you small.
Yeah, I really love that you brought up co-creation. I think it's something that you and I practice very consistently, that more people could be talking about and should be talking about. So why don't we unpack that a bit more? Like, how does this idea and practice of co-creation come into the mix? And what does that mean?
Yeah, for me, there's two different mindsets that come to mind. The first mindset is life is happening to me. Life is just happening and there's nothing I can do about it. And the other mindset is life is happening for me. If life is just happening to me, then it's really easy to feel like a victim and to feel like you have no control over your life and creating your dreams into reality. But when you step into knowing deep within that life is happening for you, you might not always like what's happening, but if you knew that it was happening for you, could you relax into the process of trusting life, trusting the universe, trusting a higher power to support and guide you? Because life is always changing. It's always reorganizing things. So if you knew that your reality was constantly reorganizing itself so you could ultimately have what you deep down desire, could you allow yourself to surrender into trusting the process?
Yeah, and I think a foundational belief that you and I have is that we live in a friendly universe where God, source, the universe is looking out for us for the highest good. And if we're in right relationship with spirit and the unseen and our practices and our soul and guidance, then we will be led in the right direction. And there is also that foundational belief that I think we have that nothing that is for us needs to be forced. But because it's a co-creation, we do also need to show up and bring our effort, our demonstration of commitment to the table. And that's something that I think over the years you and I have both seen in the kind of the splitting of worlds, where there's like the spiritual community over here, where some people are like, okay, if I do the chanting and I do the yoga and the meditation, then things should just happen to me, right? Like I should be abundant and life should take care of me. But they're lacking the grounded action, the discipline, the hustle that is actually required to meet God halfway.
Yeah.
And then on the other side, there's those who are so identified with the material realm that they're all in the hustle and they're missing the opportunity to be divinely guided, which, you know, one of those sayings that I love is, I'm paraphrasing here, but it's about climbing up the ladder only to realize once you get to the top, you've actually been climbing up the wrong wall. And I think a lot of people that we work with these days have different areas of their lives where they feel like they've really succeeded and they've been guided and led and it's been miraculous. And then there are other areas where the material identification has become a distraction and they've been caught up in that mirage or that Maya. And suddenly they're like, how the fuck did I get here? This is not what I wanted. This is not fulfilling. This doesn't feel like this is a reflection of my soul. And they're having to kind of unwind and revert out of those situations and find their way into right relationship with spirit again. So I think having that balance, right, between the material and the spiritual, between knowing that you are 50% of the equation and also being like, okay, God, help me here, because clearly I can't control this outcome. I can't control what happens after I do my part, but I trust that you've got me.
Yeah, and I have a list for that. So I have a list of all the things that are within my control, the things that I need to take aligned action on, the things that I'm working on every single day. And then I have another list that are the things that I can't control, the things that I need to surrender and hand over. And that really, really helps me. And specifically with the list of the things that I'm handing over, I'm asking for support from my guides, from the universe, from God, to help me in this co-creation process. I'm saying I'll do my part and I know that I was born worthy. I feel ready. I believe in myself. I'm going to go out there and take consistent and aligned action. And I'm asking for your help to support me in this process. And then every day I dedicate myself to whatever we're trying to create. So I'll use awaken breath work. I'll use our meditation practices to mentally rehearse the outcomes that I want to create, seeing and feeling them from the perspective that they're already created. And I celebrate that and I celebrate myself for what I've created. Then I come out of that and I get to work and I hustle from the heart and I take that aligned action. And I think both is extremely important when we're trying to, you know, play a big game and manifest our dreams into reality. Shit's not going to just happen if you stay in the comfort zone.
Right.
You got to get real with yourself and you got to get real with your standards. And in order to create that change, a lot of the time we have to raise our standards. We have to hold ourselves to a higher standard of what we're, you know, capable of doing on a daily basis and, you know, go out there and put in that work.
Right. And what I think about is, imagine if you were the creator. Wouldn't you want to design a reality where a part of the game or the assignment was for every individual to rise into their potential?
Mm.
I would not be planning for everyone to be lazy and dependent on me.
No.
I'd be like, okay, I am going to give you everything that you need to rise into your full potential.
Yeah.
And I think that this is what it means to play a bigger game and really quit playing small, to understand that you are in a co-creative relationship with the divine, and what you can do on your own is only the smallest, most limited version of what you could do with this lifetime versus what you could do if you were in that co-creation consciously.
Talk about it. How do people access that way of being? Because that's how we live. We live an intuitively guided life.
Yeah, well, I think like following what you said around the practices like awaken breath work and meditation that help you to quiet your thoughts and begin to cultivate a deeper connection to your intuition and inner guidance, that's major. I think also it's the simple practices, like one of the ways that we started with connecting to guidance was with oracle cards, with divination tools. Maybe some people use pendulums, some people use the I Ching. There's all different ways that you can start to tap in and make decisions from a more guided place. And then the other part of this that you and I are so hardcore about is follow the magic, follow the excitement. So every day, you know, we're looking for signs, confirmation. We're listening inward. It's like you are an instrument of the divine, but also the environment can be a part of the communication channel. So whether it be that I'm paying attention to how I'm feeling in my body when certain opportunities are coming my way, or I might come up with an idea and be like, how does this actually feel? Does it feel expansive? Does it feel like this is aligned for me? Or does this feel like it's coming from a place of I should, or it sounds good, or someone else did it, so maybe it's the known, familiar, reliable way to do things?
Yeah, and usually when you're playing a big game, it takes you into that feeling of what you said when you're stepping into being a fashion stylist. There's that feeling of nervousness, like I feel uncomfortable. I don't know if I can do this, but it really fucking excites me, but I'm terrified.
That's huge, because when we say about following your feeling, I've heard that so much with clients, with the community, where they'll say, I don't know if this is for me because I actually feel terrified.
Mm.
And that terror or excitement or nervousness or edginess that can come up can trigger the survival brain and that defense mechanism within the nervous system. And that's important for us to, again, be like straddling that balance between the material and the spiritual, to go, not everything that you feel is true.
Totally.
Sometimes what you're feeling is more about preservation of the known.
Yeah.
Rather than like, oh, I feel bad right now, so this must mean it's not for me. You've got to get dialed in.
Yeah, that's what I say when I say challenging the weaker, more primitive parts of self.
Yeah.
With a fierce, courageous love to move beyond that fear. Because that's what it takes. It takes a fierce, courageous love to co-create your dreams into reality and play a bigger game. One of the things that helps me to understand the language of my intuition is the clairs, whether that's, you know, seeing or hearing or feeling or knowing. We all have a different relationship with how our intuition speaks to us.
Right, those subtle senses.
Yeah, and we like to say that our higher self speaks through the voice of our intuition. So we take time out every single day to connect with our higher self that knows where we've been, where we are, where we're going and has a lot of clarity and insight and information to bring through. And that's how we move. We get the information and then we take action on the information. We're not just operating from the logical mind. We're actually operating from our multidimensional selves, which is a huge superpower.
It is. It's so fun as well as a practice to realize that you have access. And the more that you practice it, the more you hone it, the more clear and reliable it becomes, the more evidence that you gather of it working. And it expands from there. And what this is sparking, which I think is such an important aspect of this conversation, is you get to a point with quitting playing small where you realize that even thinking that your life is just about you and what you can get or who you can be is a form of playing small, and that the divine really wants each of us, if we want to, right? This is a fun free will contemplation. If we want to, we have the opportunity to live also a life of service. And again, something that I see to look at the more like the full spectrum here of spiritually identified people and materially identified people, we have those who are only devoted to service, and then those service to others, I should say, and then those who are only devoted to service to self. And I think what we can do, which is going beyond the binary of both of those perspectives, is recognize that your life can fulfill you so deeply, and you can also be of service to others, and like expand the container, become a conduit, allow the energy that is flowing through you to bless other people. And I think for me, especially with things like my mindset around money, what I realized is that these old limited ideas, which you hear thrown around, like money is the root of all evil, or wealthy people are greedy and selfish, and the 1% are hoarding the wealth of the world and so on. What I started to contemplate, which started to free me financially, and I really saw it play out in what I was attracting, is the more money I allow myself to generate and receive, the more creative I can be in the material world, which also has led, like in our business, to being able to employ people that are so cool that I'm excited about supporting. Like, I love to support their families. I love to know that I'm paying them to do something that they love and are in alignment with. And then also it allows us to be more well. Like, with specific examples, I remember the first time that we flew business class, and that was a real stretch for us. But after the flight, I remember going, oh, wow, my back's not sore. I don't need a chiropractic adjustment.
I have a lot of energy.
I can go and work right after the flight. I don't need to rest for like 48 hours to recover from that arduous, painful journey that totally drained me, where I couldn't sleep or whatever. And so I started to look at what I put in, I also get something out of. And sometimes paying more money for something that I used to think was a waste, I can now see is a really amazing investment and allows me to make more money and kind of be in that abundant flow.
Yeah, the more money you create, the more money you circulate, and the more opportunities you can not create only create for yourself, but for other people. And I have a controversial kind of viewpoint on this. I believe that people who are playing small, people who have the capability, like they're healthy and well, and they could actually raise their standards and start earning more money, people who hold themselves in that limiting way of being, and they're actually poor, and they have the capabilities to move beyond that, I believe they're selfish. People always look at wealthy people as being selfish. I actually look at it as the opposite. People who are playing small are selfish. It's the ego that keeps them identified with that way of being and not being able to move beyond it. And if you're not willing to move beyond your own limiting ideas and beliefs, then you are absolutely selfish, because you're holding your community back. You're holding your friends and family back, because you could step into be a leader. You could step into leading people by being an example of what's possible.
Right.
And if you did that, then you would step into a place of actually being of service. So it's selfish not to go after your dreams. It's selfish to stay poor when you have the ability to co-create more money and circulate that money to your community.
I love that you're talking.
It's selfish to be in this limited way of being where you're making life all about you and what you can get. You feel me?
He's fiery. I feel you. I think it's lazy as well because...
And it's entitled.
Right, yes. Even looking for handouts from other people, whether it be people to open doors for you, people to pay for things for you, something that I've seen along the journey is we all have to take responsibility.
Radical responsibility. We have to reclaim our power from the places we lost it because so many of us are walking around overlaying the past onto the present moment. We're in that state of survival. We haven't even sat with the things that we've been through that have actually hurt us and fucked us up. And we need to get radically honest with where we're at and kind of do the work to heal our relationship with the past first and foremost so we can feel regulated and allow ourselves to be in the present moment and to think bigger and to play bigger, to move from survival into thriving and creation, and then just go out there in the world and to not give a fuck about how other people perceive us and the judgments and, you know, all of the different negative narratives that will be thrown your way when you step out of playing small and you start playing big, because you're going to make certain people feel a type of way and people will project their own insecurities, fears, self-doubt, and negativity onto you. But that's none of your business. Your business is to be in right relationship with you and life and with God.
Yeah. And with that level of perspective, with that co-creation mindset, you don't abandon being good. You don't abandon being led from the heart. You don't suddenly become like some selfish, ego-driven person.
You step more into the heart.
Exactly. And you become more available for generosity, for service, for inspiration, for creativity. All of the things that I think move our world forward. And that's one thing that I really admire when I look at people who are in positions of doing innovative, big, like mind-blowing projects where it's requiring hundreds or thousands of people to mobilize toward a unified vision. That is what drives humanity forward. And I think one thing that was coming up when you were sharing just there is, I know for myself, if you were to tell me this right when I began, you know, when I was earning $10 an hour, working in retail, not believing anything was possible for me, I would probably hear this and go into, it's all too hard, this is overwhelming, and go into my default.
Yeah, you're going to
cry and shut down.
Exactly. Or you're going to like, fuck you, it's easy enough for you to say that. You haven't been through what I've been through.
Or the other part of it is like the all or nothing mindset of going, okay, but you're telling me that I need to be like you and you're further along than me. So how is that even possible? And with that being said, I think it's just important to remind people we're all on a journey. We all have different starting points. We all have a different set of assignments that we have to go through individually, but you have to start somewhere, and that is where you are today.
And what you want for your life, what you want to create.
Start moving in that direction. And from there, I think a distinct choice that you and I make over and over again is you have to work with what you've got and get scrappy and resourceful.
Yeah.
I can't even count how many times we've needed to create something and the easy, ideal means to do it.
Well, we just didn't have the money.
Right.
We didn't have, you know.
Or the contact.
Yeah, we didn't have
the knowledge.
We didn't have the ability to generate the money at that time. But one of the things that we believe is that life will always give you what you need to access your next level. But you do have to move into maybe stretching yourself, maybe working harder, maybe there's certain sacrifices that you need to make, maybe there's certain things that you need to let go of, there's other things that you need to provide. There's right. always a way of renegotiating things and allowing yourself to, you know, look at things from a different perspective, maybe in a way that you haven't yet been able to see. Once you start looking through the lens of, okay, life is really supporting me right now and I have everything I need to access my next level, then you can start to see those pieces and to start to know that you are being supported and guided. And that's why I love the practice of gratitude.
I was just going to say, gratitude is such a game changer for this. Yeah, I remember years back when we lived in Australia for a bit and we both had gratitude journals. And every single day we would write down at least three things that we're grateful for. And that sounds like such a basic practice. And I know when I first started it, I was like, okay, great. It's probably something that's more about ticking a box. Like, what's it really going to do? But what I noticed is that when we did that, I think we did it for a solid 2 years straight, just every single day, writing those three things that we're grateful for every morning. It started to rewire our brain.
Totally.
And so this is where, you know, the reticular activating system, that part of the brain that is searching for evidence of whatever you believe to be true and whatever you believe to be a priority.
Talk about it.
Whether you realize it or not, it's working for you. And so as you begin to prioritize identifying things to be grateful for, it starts to shift how you see life. And following what you were just talking about with getting resourceful, working with what we've got, whether it's financially, working with the amount of money that you have, network, working with the contacts that you have or don't have, you know, followers. How many times have I heard someone say, oh, it's easy for you to say you've got a social media audience so you can do X, Y, Z?
Yeah, but we were doing this when we had 300 followers.
Exactly. And with the gratitude practice, I started to go, oh, wow, how lucky are we that we have a comfortable home? How blessed are we that we have our relationship? How amazing is it that even though I might not have all the friends that I would want to support me, I have this one person who is always my cheerleader? And identifying more of the things that you do have, I think, becomes a leverage point to go, oh, wow, that's an opportunity. That's another opportunity.
Yeah.
That's a way that I could start to move the needle and be an active co-creation rather than being a passive, like waiting for something to happen to help me out so that life can be better.
Exactly.
You're in that gratitude. You become like a master search and retrieve machine to identify the blessings and then double down on building them.
Yeah, the practice of gratitude provides you with the lens to see how life is truly actually supporting you. Real life evidence of how you are supported. And that also comes into a mindset practice, because if we believe that we're not where we should be, or we want to be further along, or life isn't working out the way we want it to, then we actually feel out of alignment and we drain our own energy and life force and we don't feel like, you know, we're in the right place. And all of that is defeating. It's lowering our vibration. It's making us feel like shit. But the moment we can shift our state of being to a practice of gratitude, we start to see that evidence of how life is supporting us. And that mindset practice alone is such a great way to create those shifts in your life. Because if you're practicing negative self-talk, and it is a practice, you may be unconsciously doing it, but you're still practicing it, then that is draining your energy and your life force and making you feel out of alignment. And we all judge, right? It's part of human nature. And a lot of us have a strong inner critic and we have limiting beliefs and conditioning that says that we're not good enough, or we're not worthy, or we're not enough, or we're not beautiful enough or attractive enough, or we don't have enough money, or we don't have what it takes, or whatever the case might be. But we also have the power to speak life into ourselves, to, you know, change our relationship with how we speak to ourselves, and actually not only claim what we want, not just that, but to go out there and to take aligned action and to celebrate ourselves for all the small wins along the way. And when we start to stick to our word, we start to gain energy, we start to gain power and confidence, and we start to believe that it's possible for us, because it's really important, you know, when you've been practicing negative self-talk for a long time, when you're starting to step into become a new version of yourself, that you create those small wins every single day, whether that's having a list of certain non-negotiables that you can do, and you just get busy, and it doesn't matter how you're feeling, you don't make excuses, and you just show up and you create that forward momentum in your life. That forward momentum actually creates energy and it creates life force. And soon enough that you start believing, you know, what's possible. And I think all of that comes down to our daily habits and our daily standards of what we're holding ourselves accountable for, because there's so many of us that will commit to a goal, right? And I bet everyone tuning in to this can relate. You decide, I'm going to do this. And then all of a sudden you find yourself setting excuses or saying excuses and creating these exit points of talking yourself out of it. But just like you can talk yourself out of something, you can also talk yourself into something. You can be your own coach. And that's what I've seen that we've done relentlessly on our journey. We've had to talk ourselves into things over and over again. We've had to show up and move into the unknown over and over again. We've had to, you know, invest in ourselves every step of the way. We didn't come from families that had money. We've had to do this by being our own coaches, our own mentors, our own healers. And now we're at a place where we're blessed enough to support people to do that as well. And we've been able to support thousands of people from all around the world to, you know, develop on their, you know, self-growth, personal development journey, and, you know, step into healing their relationship to the past and believing that it's possible for them to create their dreams into reality. But it started with us working on ourselves first, because we didn't believe in ourselves. And we came from environments where it wasn't possible. And that was the narrative that everyone was pushing. And we had to go against that.
To think bigger and to think differently was so incredibly vulnerable. And it started to create this dissonance and separation among the people that we were around. Like, I remember there were years where you and I pretty much just had each other. We didn't really have any friends. We were super lone wolf. And that was a death and rebirth cycle that showed up not only in the area of who we were around, but there was death and rebirth in our work situations, the place that we lived, the things that we were interested in, who we thought we were, what we thought we were capable, even our own relationship. There has been death and rebirth after death and rebirth. And I think that is really what it means to play bigger in life, is to recognize too that you can live lifetimes within a lifetime. You can go through different cycles and seasons, and it's okay to change your mind and to want more for yourself. Like, quit apologizing for wanting more for your life. And just because people around you are comfortable with what they have doesn't mean that you need to be. Like, quit censoring yourself and your desires and get honest. Sit in meditation, listen to yourself. Get clear on what it is that you actually want and need and feel excited by, and then start making a plan and going after it.
And then
surround yourself with more people who are doing it. Again, this is like the abundance thing, right? When I didn't have the money for a mentor, I went on YouTube.
Yeah.
Like, I just absorb as much as I can on a daily basis that feeds me and gives me life. And I love what you said about speaking life into yourself. Because over the years, you and I have both really highlighted, I think, for each other, like, yo, you're really being mean to yourself and you're tearing yourself down. And the way that you are speaking to yourself is giving you the opposite outcome of what you actually desire. Like,
yeah, and it's a generational pattern.
Yeah.
Like, whose voice is speaking right now?
Whose voice is that? Where did that come from? Where did you learn that? And how is it that that slips by in the background of your thinking and ways of being? And you've somehow decided that that's okay or that's normal? Like, it's not normal. It shouldn't be normal to abuse yourself and to tear yourself down and diminish your own light. I think that is one of the greatest gifts that we can give, is to become like our own parents. So if you've learned from generation to generation to speak badly about yourself or to look for all the things that you're doing wrong or to be like, oh, that's for the lucky people, you can decide to become the parent that you needed in the moments where little you was like, I'm looking for a role model right now on how life should be and how to do this adulting thing. Like, no one got a manual.
Yeah, it's never too late to give yourself what you needed when you were younger.
Yes, and that doesn't mean that you have to make your own parents wrong, but it does mean that you have the opportunity to step into the role of being like the superhero mother or father to your inner child that you always needed, which will foster that exponential growth as well. And then again, to come back to that relationship with divine, it's like ultimately the father and the mother that is going to guide me to my highest expression is God. And so if I can build relationship there and go, okay, like, what would you have me do? Where would you have me go? And then I can also bring that into my body and go, hey, Hella, like, you are a leader. You are powerful. You are the woman that your inner child would have loved to have been around. Like, you are her fairy godmother. And then to make decisions from that place and to advocate for myself from that place.
Yeah.
That is self-protecting and honoring and fuel for so much growth. And I see you do that and we bring that into our work with our clients as well, because when you can advocate for yourself like the parent that you always needed, it heals trauma and it corrects unhealthy programming along the way. And so it doesn't need to be that you spend like years and years in this heavy therapy to unravel your past.
Well, that's why we love Awake and Breathwork, because it's so quick and efficient at unraveling those limiting beliefs and trauma.
And sometimes also the healing is actually happening and powerfully moving forward.
Yeah.
And being like, you know what? For all the times I didn't feel powerful, I'm stepping up and I'm going to be powerful now and I'm going to do the things. And then in that, your inner child's like, I'm safe now.
Yeah, as we liberate ourselves, we give others permission to do the same. And that's the journey, right? As you step in to play a bigger game, not only are you doing it for yourself, it's an act of service to speak your truth, to share your authentic gifts with the world. It's an act of service to play bigger and be an example of what's possible for everyone around you to see. Not only to see, to feel, and to tap into the magic through you and inspire and motivate, right? That's the journey that I'm on. I've always felt this deep calling to inspire and motivate and, you know, just like do big things in the world to show people what's possible. I've always had that as a kid. It's something that really, really fucking excites me, you know, and it's so cool because the journey never ends. We're constantly evolving, growing, and we're drawn to new things all the time, things that most light us up and feel exciting to follow. And I think that's the key with it, is following your excitement and giving yourself permission to access that state of joy. And one of the things you said was really powerful, because, you know, the RAS, the reticular activating system, is the filtering system between the conscious and unconscious mind. And it's always finding evidence of what we, you know, think is real. It's finding evidence of positive or negative things,
here's the proof that what I believe is true.
Here's the proof. So I believe that I'm not good enough. My RES is going to find all the reasons why I'm not good enough. I believe negative things happen to me, then that part of my brain is going to find all the negative things that are happening to me and focus on them, and then I'm going to feel out of alignment and I'm going to feel shit. There's always going to be negative things to focus on. There's always going to be reasons why you shouldn't do something. But on the flip side, there's always going to be reasons of why you should do something. And there's always going to be another positive perspective that you can connect into of how life is supporting you.
Yeah.
And if you train your mind through the practice of gratitude to focus on your blessings and to celebrate your blessings, which is more of a felt practice, right? It's not just identifying how you're being supported by life. It's actually feeling your blessings and celebrating your blessings. And in doing that, we raise our vibe and we start to tap into the magic again. And I think for so many people, they've lost the magic because they've been just existing in the comfort zone. They haven't even been questioning what's possible for them to create. And I hope this conversation has supported you to really start to question your life and what's possible for you, because you were born worthy. You were born worthy. And whatever you want to create is not only possible, it's your birthright. And to really let that sink in, that you're worthy of more. And whatever it is, whatever you want to do in this life, it's not only possible, but it's your birthright.
Claim
it. Yeah, you have to claim it. You have to claim it. You have to own it. You have to start speaking it into existence. You have to write it down, and you have to go out there and take aligned action on it consistently every day. You have to hustle from your heart. You know, it takes time and it takes effort and it takes energy, but you're capable of doing all of it. You really are. But you have to practice that self-belief. You have to practice self-love. Remember, these are daily practices. You don't all of a sudden just start, you know, believing in yourself and never have to practice, you know, self-belief or self-love again. With every new level you access, you have to, you know, go deeper into your practices of self-love and self-belief and, you know, visualizing everything that you want.
At that level.
Yeah.
That new identity. It's that death and rebirth, death and rebirth. Okay, now I'm here. Whoa, this is new. This feels raw and uncomfortable and scary and edgy. Can I relax and find safety and belonging here?
Yeah. So as we begin to wrap up this podcast, is there anything that you feel you want to talk about that you haven't?
I think the last thing that I just want to say is that even the people that we all look up to have areas where they feel flawed, inadequate, messy, chaotic, unworthy, not good enough. And remembering that, I think we can start to normalize and meet the parts of ourselves that feel that way with more love and compassion and accommodate them without allowing them to lead the show. You don't have to be fully healed or wholeheartedly believe in yourself to take the next step forward.
Yep.
You can be afraid. You can feel like you're gonna maybe fuck it up. You can feel like you might not have all of the answers yet, and you can still start. And I think if you want to quit playing small, you have to be willing to start and figure it out as you go. More people than you realize feel like they are winging it. So yep. Start where you are and play bigger, baby.
Play bigger, yeah. For me, I'd say start looking at the areas of your life where you know that you have been drifting in the comfort zone. You have to wake up. You have to wake up and claim what you want. Life is happening now. Everything else is a story. Give yourself permission to claim what you want, to go out there and take aligned action and to make it your reality. And just know that that's your birthright and you have absolutely got this. Start where you are. Start small. Just start. And celebrate yourself along the way, every single step of the way. Remember, the energy of celebration attracts more abundance into your life. Let's go.
Let's go.